Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
2nd day of October, year of our Lord, 2012. Today's devotion is in the book of Isaiah, the 5th chapter. We're going to start at the beginning. We're going to talk about the Lord's vineyard a little bit, and then we'll see where that takes us as we continue on. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones of it, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it." You see, he's taking good care, good preparation, to where he'll have a profitable garden here, a profitable vineyard, as the scripture says. And this is, by the way, this is Isaiah talking here. When it says, "I sing to my well-beloved," the well-beloved is Jesus here. Anyway, moving on. "And he fenced it in and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, good grapes, sweet grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes," just the opposite of what he had planned here. So even after all this preparation to get his vineyard ready, it still didn't produce the good grapes he was looking for. It produced the wild grapes here. Deuteronomy 32:6 says, "Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise people?" Requite means repay here. "Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that has bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee?" In Psalms 80, verse 8, it says, scripture says, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and has cast out the heathen and planted it." Isaiah 27 says, "In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it and will water it every moment. Lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. I'll take care of it day and night. I'll attend to it," they used to say. Night and day. Verse 3, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it already?" You see, we read all that good, careful preparation to begin with, and now the Lord is saying, "What could have been what more could have been done to the vineyard that I have not done in it? And wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes." Romans 3:4 says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but let every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." Also in 2 Chronicles, scripture says, "And the Lord God, their father, sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending rising up. It means betimes, means over and over, means again and again. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God. Not a good idea, is it? Verse 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge. Listen to this. I'll take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And verse 6 says, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. This is what happens when, obviously, when you don't take care of it. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And that's what we're talking about, the Israelites. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. His pleasant plant in this case means his favorite plant, the plant that he loves so much. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Woe unto them that come to the house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Psalms 80:12, why hast thou broken them down? Broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her. Isaiah 7:23, and it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings. So there was 1,000 vines worth 1,000 silver coins, or 7,000 pieces of silver. It shall be even be for bruises, for briars and thorns. It used to be good, worth a lot of money, and now it's nothing but briars and thorns. With arrows and bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. They can't even use it for much more than hunting. They barely can hunt on it now, Scripture says, because it's nothing but briars and thorns. In mine ears, verse 9, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without hesitation. In Micah 2:2, and they covet fields, they being the evil people, the people that plan iniquity, the wicked people, and they covet fields, and they take them by violence, in houses, and take them away, so that they may oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage as well. Sounds like a little home invasion here, doesn't it? Take them by violence and take his houses away from him. Isaiah 22:14, and it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts. Verse 10, yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a omer shall yield an ephah. Ephah, best I could figure, is 10 bushels of seed. Verse 11 says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, to wine inflame them. Proverbs 23:29, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions? Contention means who's wanting to argue all the time. Who hath babbling, who hath the wounds, who hath redness of eyes? Verse 30 says, they that tarry long at the wine, certainly so. They that go to seek mixed wine. Verse 12, and the harp and the viol, the tabret, the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the works of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways. That comes from Job 34:27. Verse 28 says, so that they caused the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he that heareth the cry of the afflicted. Also in Psalms 28, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. No knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Honorable men is the respected leaders of the community, so to speak, and the multitude means just the common man. The honorable men are famished, and the multitude dried up with thirst. Isaiah 1:3, you're talking about no knowledge here. The oxen knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. My people don't understand. And why not? Here's why. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Their own fault, isn't it? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, and with also I will also reject thee. This is the Lord talking to Israel about they keep on in their evil ways. This is what's going to happen. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. God can't use us anymore in his business, so to speak. I will also forget thy God. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They're taking their own selves out, aren't they? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, no help to me at all, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Verse 14, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure in their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoices shall descend into this. All these happy people and all the good times they have, and that's coming to an end according to the scriptures here. In Habakkuk 2, verse 5, who enlarges his desire, talking about the proud folks here, who enlarges his desire as hell and is as death, and the proud people that cannot be satisfied. This verse is talking about only the faithful people are acceptable to God. The faithful people live in faith, don't they? Certainly so. Some people say that when you talk about hell enlarging herself, when you see on the TV and on the internet about a volcano erupting, that's hell enlarging itself, making room for more people. There's always room for one more, obviously. Verse 15, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled. The mean man is just is the common man here, so to speak. And the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled as well. The lofty means the proud, the haughty people. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Isaiah 2:9 says, "And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." The Lord alone. Verse 17. "Then shall the louse feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat." The fat ones is obviously the rich ones here. Verse 18, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity." Woe unto them that drag their iniquity, so to speak, with cords of vanity, like it was a cart rope, that say, "Let him make speed and hasten his work." They're saying, "Hurry up here." "And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it." People's getting impatient, aren't they? Jeremiah 17:15, "Behold, they're saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now." Also in 2 Peter 3:3-4, "Knowing this first, that there shall come scoffers, walking after their own lust." Here verse 4 says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming?" It sounds like today, doesn't it? "Where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the day of creation." That sounds like the people of the day. Amos 5:18, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." That's when the day of God's judgment comes, the day of the Lord. Isaiah 66:5, "Hear the word of the Lord. You tremble at his word." Tremble means you respect and you honor and you worship and you obey his word. "Your brethren that hated you cast you out for my name's sake," for Jesus' name's sake. "And the Lord be," and he said, "Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." The ones that's been taunting you about your beliefs, is picking at you about your beliefs, they're going to get theirs. According to the scripture, their day is coming. They're going to find out soon that all their taunting is going to be in vain. And verse 20, "Woe unto them," listen to this, "woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Sound like we're talking a little bit about tolerance here, don't we, this ugly world that we're living in. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." This is right is wrong and wrong is right. People trying to say now that a lot of things they trying to make light of it, so to speak. They're saying, "Oh, it's really not that bad. It is not hardly worth that punishment." The Bible says different. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they are both an abomination to the Lord. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come to them. They're all concerned about me, ain't they? Me, me, me. What about me? Also in Proverbs 3:7, "Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength might come strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Remember, we just read over in verse 11 about the strong drink. "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night to whine and blame them. Proverbs 17:15 again, we just read that. He that justifies the wicked and condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Also in James 5:6, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. The talking about the rich and proud here is the one that's condemning and killing the just folks. Verse 24, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. And because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel, not good thinking, not a good idea on their part, isn't it? It's going to get right rough here from now to the end of this chapter, if you pay attention, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Exodus 15:7, in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Also in Hosea 9:16, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved, the fruit of the womb. Also Isaiah 9:13-17, I'll read that for you. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Here again, that sounds like today, doesn't it? Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. Branch and rush means the rush is the stalk here. The ancient and the honorable, he is the dead. The prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of the people cause them to err, that they are led of them or destroyed. To err, as we all know, it means to make a mistake. Verse 17, therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evil doer. Pardon me. And every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. The Lord ain't through yet, is what he's saying, ain't he? For the wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle the thickets of the forest. God's serious about this sin, ain't he? Just about done here. Jeremiah 4:24, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Also in 2 Kings, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me. This is King Saul talking. And for the people, for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that it is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Verse 26, and he, let me read 25 again. This is pretty good stuff here. This is, see if this don't sound like we're talking to about this day as well. Therefore, the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. He has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. He's talking like he's not quite finished yet, and he's people better wake up. But they don't seem to care, obviously. He'll lift up an ensign to the nation from afar, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. hiss in this case means he's going to kind of whistle at them. And he will lift up ensign to the nations from afar and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. An ensign is a banner, it's a signal, it's a flag of some sort, signal device here. The scripture says the Lord will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary or stumble among them. None shall slumber or sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loose. Boy, they're going to be ready here. They're going to be some fighting men. Nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Listen to this in Deuteronomy. It says about the same thing. Deuteronomy 28:49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, as a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Doesn't that sound like today? Also in Daniel 5:6, then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loin were loosened and his knees smote one against the other. This is talking about King Belshazzar when after he saw the hand writing on the wall, after he'd, remember the story, after he'd used the golden cups of and the King Nebuchadnezzar's house, he used them to, him and his buddies used the golden goblets and to drink the wine and get drunk out of, and he looked up and saw a vision of a hand writing on the wall, and he was afraid here. The king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loin were loosening his. His knees smote one against the other. His knees was knocking, we used to say. Verse 28. Still talking about these forces that's coming from afar, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. The horses' hooves shall be counted as flint. The horses' hooves shall be as hard as a flint. We used to say hard as a flint rock. And their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. Talking about the soldiers roaring. There's so many of them that they come and they sound like a roar. They shall roar like a young lion. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe. And none shall deliver it. None. There shall be none there to rescue them. Verse 30 says, and in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one looking unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light of the is darkened in the heavens above. Isaiah 8:22. And they look. Pardon me. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness. Also in Jeremiah 4:23, I beheld the earth, and it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. So, not too pleasant what the Lord had in store for the people of Israel as well. That sounds like a sign of our time as well. These people coming from far away with language that we can't understand. That's happening today. And so, anyway, in this short chapter that we just read, it tells that Isaiah is telling the people of Israel. He's reminding them. He's showing them their transgressions and the judgments that are certain to follow them. And why is this? It's all because of that little three-letter word. It's all because of sin. God hates sin, doesn't he? it'd be very beneficial, very profitable for Christians to, like we said in our study last week, to put on the whole armor of God in these end times that we're living in now. They need to continue to pray, continue to stay in the Bible, to read the Bible, to attend church, continue the giving, so we can have our own light here when we're surrounded by all our darkness here in these troubling times that we're going through. The scripture says, in God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.